Now Kroger. Oh, Kroger got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland. And the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way. You play like Gordie Howe or Eddie fucking Shore. We can't all be Gretzky, the loser Bobby Orr's. Hey.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the biscuit. It's the biscuit.
Damn it! Their goal regulation size are wide!
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. There's a country we'll stop working on so Batman's fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the biscuit podcast.
Hey, you wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
All right, I'm here with Ken Bulkey of the Sim Bin Podcast. How are we doing, Ken?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Dude, it's fucking great here, man. I got to tell you, I'm excited to talk Las Vegas hockey with you, bud.
Let's do it.
There's something about this team that usually an expand. Besides when Columbus got a team, because I live in Ohio, I was obviously excited. But like, usually it'll be, you know, oh cool, Atlanta's getting a team. Who gives a shit, you know? But there's some, or Nashville's getting a team, cool, whatever. There's something that has me excited about this. What do you think it is? Can you put? Is it because it's in Las Vegas, or there's something about it? I can't quite put my finger on it.
I think that's part of it. I think that being Vegas, being a place that pretty much everybody's been, or at least has some sort of connection to. Hell, if you've played roulette one time in your life, you at least have some connection to Vegas in some form or fashion. So I've always said that it's, even though there's only 2.1 million people that live here, and there's probably, I don't know, you'd probably throw another million that have lived and moved. So we're talking probably 3 million people total ever that have lived here in the history of the city. I think it's still the favorite city of over about probably 100 million people in the world, which is absolutely incredible when you consider that barely that many people have lived here. So I think everybody's got that connection. And then for me, the jerseys are sick. I'm a huge fan of the logo. I love the jerseys. The name's kind of stupid, but I can get past that.
The name was dumb, but there wasn't a whole lot they could go from. Here at the Biscuit, we just call them the Gambits just because it's a little inside joke we have. But when the logo came out, I was like, well, that's not bad. But when the jerseys came out, I was like, oh, shit, those are kind of fucking sweet.
Yeah, the jerseys are sick. Wait till you see the white ones. Have you gotten a chance to see them in person?
No, my eyes haven't actually seen them, no.
Yeah, so wait until that, because there's some intricacies in like the actual physical logo on the chest. And then there's some really like goofy stuff going on in the gold trim on the arms. Really, really cool.
I did see online, it almost looks like a paisley pattern, you know, yeah, mixed up. And it's really unique. And you don't see that on any of the other jerseys that Adidas has done, that intricate. So I think that the one thing I did is the red line seemed weird, but it's going to keep them separated from Pittsburgh because of the black and gold a little bit. And are they going to rock the white gloves?
Home is black gloves and black helmets. Road is white gloves and white helmets. So, yes, they are definitely wearing the white gloves, and it's the best thing I've seen. I love them.
That's a fucking a miracle.
They're great.
I am so on board for fucking white gloves. That makes me so happy.
Yeah. Did you have a chance to see when I asked Nate Schmidt about them?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's pinned on my Twitter. I'll leave it up there for after you post this podcast. So just go on at Sinbin Vegas. There's your shameless plug 5 seconds into the podcast. But you just go on there. It's so awesome. I basically said to him, I was like, what do you think of the white gloves? And his response was, they are absolutely awesome. I wanted to get my contract done so I could get a pair of these gloves.
That's awesome.
He's
dude.
The best. He's absolutely hilarious. Like if you're not a fan of any team yet, be a fan of the Golden Knights for one guy. And that's Nate Schmidt. He's the best.
You know, and I'm seeing that on hockey Twitter. There's a lot of people for whatever reason, I mean, you can go to Vegas and lose your ass, and there's something about that city that where you're going, well, fuck, I'm going back there.
This place is awesome. You know, it's the best.
It's the atmosphere. Maybe it's that taste of, fuck, I could win a shit ton of money.
Yeah, that's the key. Yeah, you can put in $9 and you can walk away with $9 million. Probably not going to happen, but
right. And you can literally walk around in like CVS with a beer, like, and it doesn't fucking matter.
No.
And you don't really, I mean, I'm sure you live out there, you've seen, but when I was there, I didn't see too many people getting off the fucking handle. I mean, there were some dudes drinking and shit, but it seems like in an atmosphere where you're allowed to do it, people kind of...
It happens.
Yeah, you,
but
I mean...
No, I mean, it's not too bad. Like, you gotta, you know, you gotta be careful. You get the people that get a little pissy when they lose a whole shit ton of money gambling, but, you know, and then if you've ever been in a sports book, when there's a big event, that's always a blast. Like, if you ever come out for the Super Bowl or March Madness, you will hear the loudest fucks you've ever heard in your life. It's the best. I've never had more fun than watching March Madness Thursday and Friday.
That's crazy. The one time I've been to Vegas was during the first week of March Madness, and it was so intense and so much fun. Like, even if you didn't bet on a game, watching the other dudes that bet on games was so much fun.
And it's hilarious down the stretch watching the free throws and that kind of stuff. And what's going to be great is there's this myth that everybody who lives in Vegas doesn't bet or doesn't gamble. That's the biggest horse shit I've ever heard in my life. Like, literally, I moved here to gamble, and like everybody I know did the same. Like, literally, we all bet on sports. Like, every single person I know that's a sports fan bets on sports. So when you look at going to hockey games, like, there are going to be games where they're, you know, the puck line is plus 120 for Golden Knights, and they'll be down by two, and the place will go nuts if they score a goal to be down by only one, you know, down late in the game. Or totals, like, if the game is 5.5 and there's an empty net goal for the other team, the place is going to erupt for the over.
And that's going to make Las Vegas even more unique than the team already is. That because that atmosphere it's going to be something different than any other barn in the NHL. That they're going to have that different feel to that stadium, and you're going to get a lot of people that just want to go to a hockey game. I think. I mean, you're going to have your regulars, but you're going to have, like you said, you know, another 1.5 million so people, tourists, you know, coming in. They're going, well, you know, the casino gives you fucking free tickets to the game. You're going.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to notice, like, if you go to Vegas, like, you'll see shows like Cirque du Soleil, fucking Donnie and Marie still have a show at the Flamingo. Like, if they can sell 500, 600 tickets a night, like, there's no way that the best hockey players on the earth can't sell 15,000 seats. So it's going to be interesting. It'll be a little weird to see how many people are cheering for the home team, how many people are cheering for the road team. I think that's going to be a bit of a challenge, at least off the top. And I think that you're going to notice that really quickly, because I think that's the second or third game they play Boston, and then they play Detroit right after that.
Oh,
and
those...
that place is just going to be jammed with the opposite fans.
Oh yeah, bunch of degenerates.
I do think though, when all is said and done, the fact of the matter is there's butts in the seats. Like, when you look at attendance, I can almost guarantee you they will surpass 100% every single game this season. And that's not because there's 80,000 Golden Knight fans going to games. Like, that's not what's happening.
Right.
It's just the fact is everybody's purchased the tickets, understanding that they have a shit ton of value moving forward. You're going to see a lot of people making money off these tickets, and you're going to see butts in the seats. So financially, it's a no-brainer
to
come to Vegas.
Absolutely,
and a lot of people
man.
Didn't believe that.
And I heard Martin St. Louis the other day on Spittin' Chiclets say, you know, when you're down there on the ice, really all you're hearing is noise anyhow. So maybe, you know, the Vegas dudes will be so used to, you know, the environment being kind of, you know, maybe more so leaning to the visitors, that it's just going to be, you know, they're going to get used to it because they're going to be playing in Vegas, you know? So it might give them an advantage in a way if they can get used to that kind of atmosphere.
I'm still trying to figure out, like, which hotel they're all staying at so that I can show up and, like, hey, Brent Burns, why don't you come play craps with us?
Yeah,
why don't you come over? Like, I'm trying to keep these guys out all night because I'll survive. I'll wake up. I'll survive.
No problem.
They got to go play a hockey game.
No fucking problem. Now, you've actually been into the practices and seen camp started today, didn't it?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yesterday. So what are you taking away so far? Who's looking good on your radar, and anybody over exceeding your expectations, or everybody right about where you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to tell because, like, you got a group of guys who have a pretty good idea that they're on the team. And actually, I found out today that that number is significantly larger than I thought. Like, when I go through the roster, and you could probably do the same, you'll see a lot of players kind of in that $1.5 to $2 million range, sometimes even a little bit lower than that, where they're, you know, 25, 26, 27. And it feels like there's a lot of guys on the bubble. Well, I asked Coach Gallant today, I said, how many guys, like normally you go to a camp and you know there's 20 guys that are on the roster and there's a few spots in the back end. How many guys have a spot cemented? And his answer was something along the lines of 15, 16, 17, possibly as high as 18.
Oh, no
shit. He said
there's
only three or four spots available, which really shocked me because you can go down that defensive core and like, tell me which one of these guys is a guarantee. Like, I'll name them for you. Which one of these is a guarantee to be on an NHL roster? Jason Garrison, Lucas Spezza, Clayton Stoner, Nate Schmidt, Braden McNabb, John Merrill, Colin Miller, Derek Englund, Griffin Reinhardt, Shea Theodore, Brad Hunt.
Right. And
none of them.
You see Daily Faceoff, and they have the six pairings now, McNabb, Theodore, Schmidt, Miller, Spezza, and Garrison. And I'm going, I don't know, man.
I'm convinced Theodore's not going to make the team out of camp, and that has nothing to do with his talent. That has all to do with the fact that he's waiver exempt. So they have the ability to send him down to the AHL without any repercussion compared to if you decide, we're not enthralled with what we're seeing out of John Merrill in camp. We're not enthralled with what we're seeing out of Griffin Reinhardt in camp. Maybe we'll send them down, and then you wind up losing the guy on waivers for absolutely nothing.
Right.
So even though I think a lot of these are going to come down to business decisions, not necessarily hockey decisions, which it's kind of going to piss off all the fans, but they'll get over it.
Yeah, they certainly will. There's one guy I hope to see in the roster more often than not. Obviously, I enjoy a good tilt every now and again, so I hope England breaks in every now and again, just because I enjoy the way he plays. And that I see he's marked as scratched now, but a lot's going to change, or maybe not.
I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play quite a bit. I didn't think that originally when I first saw the roster, but now that I've kind of gotten to watch them play and gotten to know the team, he's the de facto captain. They're not going to name a captain, but
yeah,
for all intents and purposes, he's the captain.
He's
from Vegas, or at least has been for the past like 15 years. So he has that tie. He's kind of been running practice and doing all this stuff. He was the reason that we got to go into all these informal practices before camp started. He invited the media and everything. So he's been really good. And I think that you're going to, just based on the simple fact that, like, who do we wait or who do we scratch today? Lucas Spezza or Derek Englund? Does it really matter? I mean, the team's not good. Like, who gives a damn? So when all said and done, they're probably going to put England out there quite a bit. Plus, I think you're right. I think you're going to want to see some fights. I think they're going to get into some scraps with some teams just to prove that you can't be pushed around.
What? Vegas loves a fucking fight. You know what I mean?
No doubt about it. We got one tonight.
Exactly. Vegas is fucking made for a dude like England to be in there. And I don't know if you had a chance to read his piece he just did with Violent Gentleman, but, I mean, he got me excited, really, really excited for Las Vegas hockey, man.
Yeah, he's great. They actually used one of my questions in that one.
No shit.
Yeah, because I'm still wondering. I still can't get an answer from him. I've asked him like four times. So he lives here. He bought a house. He's actually bought two houses since he's lived here, and he's lived here for like 15 years. He used the same realtor. Well, he sent that realtor like every single player on this team. So all of a sudden you have, as a realtor, you're sitting here with 40 guys making over $1 million coming in, buying houses from you. Like, that guy's going to rake just simply off of Derek Englund. Like, does he get commission? Does he get a new house? Like, how does this work?
Dude, he's getting something, man. He's got to, right?
Damn. Like, I want to be that realtor. I don't have a real estate license. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But I would have learned if Derek Englund would have guaranteed me that I would have gotten all his clients.
No shit. I mean, I wonder if that realtor fucking, like, went to high school with him or something. He's like, yeah, dude, let's hook it up, or used to get him blow back in the day or something.
I do know that Marc-Andre Fleury moved into the same neighborhood as Floyd Mayweather, and I know the houses in there run at least $10 million.
Good God.
So you're like, I mean, I don't know if you've ever bought a house, but like, you get like 3% or so as commission. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, thanks. Holy shit. I mean, as an expansion fucking team, you got the Flower in your net. That's not bad. And
yeah, you gotta like that. But
and Picard's not a bad backup.
He wasn't that good last year, though.
No,
and then the backup is Pickard. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Pickard was the backup of the worst team we've seen in the NHL in the last like 15 years last year. And I like Pickard.
Yeah, it's very true. But there's that room's toxic. I think a lot of those guys can actually go and be successful other places. That team has to fucking just blow up. They're a fucking shit show, dude. Have you seen those pictures of Duchesne from Media Day?
It's disappointing.
Oh, it makes me fucking like so sad for the guy.
I don't even like looking at him, listening to him. That little like 15-second clip where he, because I've now been in the locker room and talked to players. Like if somebody did that, it would be so awkward.
Yeah, fuck yeah, it would, man.
Like I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just here for the team, but we're not here to fucking talk about the sad Avalanche. I already got that shit out of the way.
Good.
So Derek's got me super stoked for the fucking team. And Las Vegas' Twitter is fucking great. They are just throwing fucking blows left and right, man, not giving zero fucks. That's a way to come into it. Don't be timid.
Yeah, they are he's something. Dan Marazza runs it, and he's it's funny because Dan's an interesting character. Dan's the kind of guy that like you'll go up to and you'll say, you can name anything. You'll be like, all right, who won the 1984 Norris Trophy? And he does the thing that like people who have these photographic memories do, where they like their eyes like stare up into the sky for a second, and then he'll name the person, and you're like, God damn it, how do you do that? And then he does other stuff, and I'm like, all right, he clearly has no life. But to be fair, he's running a bang up Twitter account, and he's I've actually seen his list of burns that he's got planned on like all the different teams in case they ever come at him, and it's pretty funny. It's not going to stop. The only thing I will say is he's dug himself kind of this hole where he's taken down so many different teams already, and they're all waiting for it to get back at him. Like, he does have to realize that he does run the Twitter account for a team that's probably the worst in the NHL.
Right,
and they're probably going to get burnt like a lot on the ice. So I have a feeling he's going to get some flack for some teams coming forward, but he'll be fine. He's awesome.
I guess it's a good time to do it now before the beatings start happening.
Yeah, he's done a good job of that. But even the Kings game, they play a rookie game against the Kings. They lose 6-2, and like, well, you kind of got to shut up now. But that's not in Dan's nature. So that war happened, which was hilarious.
Is Kolesar on Vegas?
Kolesar?
Yeah, dude.
Where are you from? Why do you know who Keegan Kolesar is?
I'm from Ohio, man. He was a Blue Jackets prospect.
Oh, okay.
So I watched him at the Memorial Cup, you know, when he was playing with Seattle, and I was really excited about seeing him come up, man. And he threw him down the other night, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a real genuine badass. I very much enjoy him, and he's a very nice guy, which seems to be always the case for the guys that like to beat people up on the ice. He didn't do so well in that first fight. He kind of got his ass kicked by whoever that dude was from the Kings. But no, he's been really good. Like, he was at development camp, and he probably shouldn't have been there because he's a little too old for development camp. But he was really looking good in development camp, and now here in training camp, when they're actually letting him hit, he's really starting to stand out. I
love his game, man.
He'll be on the roster, but it wouldn't shock me if he plays a couple games here and there. Like, I think he'll go to Chicago in the AHL, but I think by the time the season's out, wouldn't surprise me if Kolesar gets 20 games.
That was my next question. He'll probably be in Chicago. But, like, I mean, some of these guys are going to get, you know, bumps and not play a game here or two, you know, or you get sick. So I'm excited to see him get in and break some NHL minutes. There's just something about him. He's fun to watch. He's fun. He's a fun guy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to see him play a little bit more at the NHL level. I don't know that he's quite skilled enough yet, like for the speed of the game. But he's got that mean streak to him, and you really can see it. And he can shoot. I mean, he's got really good hands in and around the goal. But kind of when he gets up into space, it breaks down a little bit on him from time to time. So long term, is he going to be like a huge piece of the Golden Knights? I doubt it. He might be a third line type, fourth line type guy, but he's going to be fun to watch.
Fuck
fans
yeah.
are going to like him.
I would love. I mean, put him on the fourth line. I'm a fan. I'm into that dude. I'm not a big fourth line guy.
I always pretty much every time I watch hockey, I always get frustrated when the fourth line out there, because you're like, all these guys are out there to do is not lose the game and hit people.
Yeah, that's
like,
awesome.
That's not hockey. Like,
I love it, dude.
Give me good players.
I love it. I think that was the biggest difference from the expansion roster to this, the roster they're running with now. It seemed like the dudes from the expansion, it was a little bit of a tougher team, really, with dudes like Mathot in there and Thorburn. But they even said when that was happening that a lot of these guys are going to get dealt, you know, for draft picks for the future of this team.
Yeah, they picked way too many defensemen, and they're still in a spot where they have way too many defensemen. And it's kind of like this running joke in and around the media here, where there's 11 guys on NHL contracts right now that are on one-way NHL contracts. So, like, you have to make a move here, and people still go back and like, you only got a second round pick for Mark Mathot. How do you only get a second round pick for Trevor Van Riemsdyk? Like, guys, relax. Like, it's a bunch of second round picks. They're going to be fine. You know, even more guys have to move. So it'll be interesting to see what winds up happening with all the defensemen. Cause quite frankly, there's too many, and every single one I ask, they're like, yeah, we're well aware that there's too many. Like, we have to play well in this camp. So it's going to be weird watching those preseason games, because if you can bet on them, take the unders, because the defensive guys are trying and the forwards are not.
When I look at, you know, the line combinations, their third line really has potential to do some damage with Lindberg and Carlson and Hulo on there. I think all three of those guys can really fucking play. And if they have any kind of chemistry, I would expect a lot of, I mean, as far as this team's going to go, a lot of production out of that line specifically.
It's kind of your boom or bust there. Like,
yeah,
they got to figure out who's going to play wing and who's going to play center, because there's, quite frankly, there's too many centers. So they got to figure that part out first. Hall has been really good. Like, that guy could always score when he was in Minnesota. So he I like him a lot. I think he's going to be one of kind of the standout guys. But then again, as guys get better, like, I don't think you're going to see a line getting better on the Golden Knights. I think you're going to see individuals get better and things are going to shift around.
Yeah.
Because they're not necessarily looking to create great lines for a playoff series. They're looking to find guys that mesh and then find other pieces that can fit together. And the way you do that is give them all minutes with each other and figure it out, and then ultimately lose enough games so that Rasmus Dahlin is a Golden Knight next year as well. But that's way on the horizon. But the fact is, you can peg a line now, but down the road, I would guarantee you it's going to be completely different. Like, it would not shock me if Halla plays first line minutes with Shipachov from time to time. It wouldn't shock me if Eakin winds up as a second line center. It wouldn't shock me if one of the defensemen winds up playing wing on the fourth line. Like, I think they're going to try some shit and see, what do we have here? What can we do here? And also, how can we make everyone else think our players are better than they actually are?
Right.
Because, like, if you go through the roster, there is a massive number of guys who are on expiring contracts, specifically defensively, that if you can show, so let's say like a Jason Garrison, who hopefully he doesn't get traded, because I fucking love the guy. He's the coolest. But he's a guy who's got a $4.5 million contract or so. He's 32 years old. He's been to playoff series. He's been very good, enough to earn that contract. Expiring contract, comes off the books next year. He should have value to a team if he's playing first and second line minutes for the Golden Knights. So they're going to force some of those things to say, hey, you're playing on the first line for the next six games so that we can ship your ass out to Minnesota so we can get a second round pick back or a first round pick back.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be – I mean, but that makes this team even more – you're going to see some crazy shit you know.
It's going to be great. Yeah, and, I mean, it's going to be awesome. By the way, the Golden Knights, as I'm looking, already have the Columbus second round pick for 2019. So we got to work on getting your first rounder for next year, and maybe a 2023rd.
Dude, I'll trade you right now. First round pick for William Karlsson back. I miss that guy. I loved him.
Sold. I'll make that deal. I'll make that deal right now. And I like William Karlsson. He's a hell of a lot bigger than I thought. When I first saw him, I was like, I thought he was just a normal size guy. He's a big dude.
Is he? He looks small to me, but I mean, I haven't seen him up close either.
Yeah, he's one of the thicker guys. And again, like I was saying, he seems – maybe that's just because I think because we're American, we just assume that all Swedish guys are like Erik Karlsson. So, like, I think we tend to do that. But, yeah, he's a big dude. Like, he's way bigger than Lindbergh.
Really?
Which you – yeah, and as far as, like, the size, I think their numbers are relatively similar. But he's way thicker or at least more built than Lindbergh.
He's got them fucking beefy thighs, dude, them skater thighs.
That's right. He's got really wide shoulders.
Oh, which yeah. Is,
now that I said that out loud, that's super creepy. And, like, I think I might I'm wearing a wedding ring. I might have to take it off or something.
I took mine off a while ago when we started.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like.
I knew we were going to get creepy when it got to Karlsson, so I was like, man, I don't know.
Oh, the hair, too. My goodness, that hair.
And I'm worried about, because him and Wennberg were like butt buddies on the Blue Jackets, so I hope Wennberg can, you know, man up and play without him, or, like, you know, maybe just put a picture of Karlsson in his locker and pretend that he's there.
That's interesting. Maybe we should send each other pictures of the other one and bring them to the respective guy.
Let's do it. Be like, hey.
Like, I think that's a great idea. Like, we'll bring a stick with Wendler's face on it, and then you have a stick with Karlsson's face on it, and then we'll FaceTime each other.
Yes.
I like this idea. This is perfect.
Is fucking perfect.
I like this idea a lot.
Who do you think is going to score the most goals on your team, bud?
I'm going to go with Riley Smith.
Whoa.
And I know that that's kind of a shot in the dark that a lot of people aren't really thinking.
That's a fucking gambling, man.
I think James Neal is the one that makes the most sense, but I don't think he's on the team long enough to score enough goals.
Plus, interesting. You think he's going to get dealt?
I do think he's going to get dealt, and I also don't think he's going to play until at least November. So I think it's going to be a while till you see him, and then when you see him, they're going to force him the puck, they're going to force him to score a bunch of goals, and they're going to trade him by February.
Is he out there right now?
Yeah, his hand is still broken from Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
They said 2, 3, or 4 weeks, and I'm like, hey, McPhee, 2 weeks is still in training camp, 4 is missing the whole first month of the season. Like,
what are we talking here?
And yeah, he doesn't like me that much, but that's okay.
Good.
But no, that back to Riley Smith. The other options, like, if you really run through it, like, Vadim Shipachyov doesn't shoot. Like, I love Shipachyov. I think he's going to be awesome. I think he's probably going to be the best player on the team. And when you step back and you're like, okay, who has the most value? Who's the most skilled player?
I love everything about Vadim, except I cannot say his last name, man.
Shipachyov. Or just go with what we call him, and that's Shippy.
Shippy, that's it. I can do that all day.
Yeah, we always call him Shippy. So I think he's the most skilled player, but again, he doesn't shoot. Like, we won't do it. And that's a good thing. Like, normally you're like, that's terrible. That's a good thing. He's so good at passing. It's insane.
You think Gallant's into that, or you think Gallant's going to, you know, push him in the direction of maybe firing some more biscuits here and there?
I don't think Gallant can speak to Shipachyov, so I don't think it matters what Gallant does. So the next best option is Marceau, because he scored most, and yes. I think that was a bit of a flash in the pan. I like him. I think he's going to be good here. But I think that playing on a line he played on is a little bit different than playing on the line he's going to play on here. And he's going to play some much tougher minutes. He's going to play against a lot better opposition. I think that it's going to be tough for him.
That's what's going to make or break him. If he can handle these top line or top two line minutes with you know, top guys staring him down, it depends on how he handles that. But like you said, if you look down, he would be, you know, first, second, or third, where you're going to go, oh, that guy's going to get the goals.
Yeah, I mean, you look at last year. I think I want to say Huberto went down, and he played on the line with I know Jágr was on the line. I want to say Trocheck was the other one on the line. I'm looking it up.
I think that sounds about right. Jágr, Trocheck, and Marchessault?
Yeah. I think that might, or maybe it was Barkov. I don't know. Either way, he's playing on a line with much better players than he's going to be playing on here.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he's going to transition to kind of being the guy on the ice that you're focused on.
Especially,
and by the way,
especially if you know Shippey's not shooting.
Right. Well, I don't think he's going to play with Shipachov. I have a feeling they're going to go with Perron and probably Smith with Shipachov. So
okay.
That's, again, whoever's playing with Shipachov, those wingers are going to have the most points and the most goals because he's so, like, it is ridiculous the way this guy sauce passes the puck. It's insane. Like, you don't, it feels like the puck is hovering. It doesn't move at all. It's nuts.
Huh.
Well, that'd be- I swear to you, he can sauce pass a puck onto a soda can and land it there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Perron's interesting too. I think he can put up – I think he can put up big numbers. I mean, he has the potential to be a – what? I mean, do well and then get traded himself?
Yeah, I feel bad for him because, like, he's – he and Riley Smith – or not Riley Smith. He and Colin Miller are the two that, like, when I've talked to him, I get this feel that's like, God damn it, I wish I wasn't here. You know, so and I think Perron's fully aware. Like, there's an article that was written in French, so I only got to read it through Bing Translate. But basically what was being said was he's pissy about getting traded over and over and over again. Like, he's been on like 7 teams in the last 4 years. It's insane.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
And then he comes here.
Yeah, you're going to Vegas, bud.
Guess where you're going, bud. Like,
yeah.
Even if he's great, they're probably not going to re-sign him.
Yeah, I wouldn't see it happening that way. I wouldn't see that.
And his English he's not a guy that likes to speak English. So, like, he can and he will and he does, but he doesn't prefer to speak English, which I think that will kind of get in the way a little bit. So, I just... Again, like I said, I feel bad for him because he seems like a good guy. I don't know. I was watching him today, and I don't really know how to describe this other than saying he makes it look so easy that, like, but then again, nothing happens when he has the puck.
Yeah.
I don't really know. Does that make sense? Like, he gets the puck. He doesn't look like he's trying to do anything. But then nothing actually happens. So I'm afraid that that's what's going to happen when he gets out there.
Yeah, and if he doesn't want to be there, I mean, that shit might show more and more and more as well.
So, yeah, and then that's one we're going to have to keep up on. But, I mean, the problem is you never get these guys to say it. Like,
that's a fucking – that's what pisses me off the most about today's hockey player is you can't get a fucking dude to talk about anything.
So they're super annoying.
I don't get it. Why? I mean, that's what. Not that the sport is held back, but that's what's going to get dudes. I mean, watch Conor McGregor spout off at the mouth, or yeah. You know, Odell yeah. Beckham Jr. That's what gets people interested. You got to piss some people off sometimes.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because, like, for the last 2 or 3 years or so, I've been covering the UFC. And it's so backwards. But what's weird is UFC guys are like the nicest athletes ever.
Yeah.
Like, I would make the argument UFC athletes are nicer than hockey players, which is like absurd. But I've gone up to guys and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And they're like, fuck John Jones. I'm like, oh, okay, that's fantastic. And like here, you know,
I think the UFC dudes understand that they're selling something too.
Right.
I think that there's a little bit of and I don't want to compare it because it's not comparable, but the little bit of WE to it. There, you got to sell.
Yeah,
you got to sell what's going on. It's you and another guy in an octagon. So that's I think maybe if a dude came out, you know, and said, like, if England came in and was like, you know what,
Fuck Getzlaf, dude. He's a punk. You know, and maybe start some shit, and you don't even have to really mean it.
Who was it in somebody in Nashville? Was it Ryan Johansson?
Yeah, dude. Who said something like, he's like, I don't know how his family and friends watch him play hockey.
Yeah.
Like,
it was about
he hit him in the dick.
Getzlaf. Who was it about?
It was Kessler.
It was Kessler. Kessler.
Kessler hit him in the fucking dick, and
yes.
Johansson got super butthurt about it.
And that's awesome. And that's how you create rivalries. That's how you create that stuff. Like,
and look at it. We're talking about it now, and that was one of my favorite moments of this playoffs. Was him fucking?
It was awesome.
It was great.
And he got hurt and missed the whole Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, yeah.
They might have won.
Yeah, I think they would have done better for sure.
They were right in that. God, I wish they won that.
And there's something about Ryan too. Is he gets under, and people refuse to believe me, but Johansson and Dubinsky get under Sidney Crosby's skin. I've seen it happen. Yeah. I've seen it happen. They'll play shitty with him and get him fucking starting to not do Sidney shit. I think that really hurt Nashville when it came down to it.
Completely agree. I think that the getting under Sidney Crosby's skin is actually easier than it should be.
Oh, for sure. And I, what I'm bummed out about this year is I think they got under his skin the wrong way by sucking McDavid's dick so much that I think that Sidney's going to go serial killer on the league this year. I think he's going to just fucking just
to
go,
be fair.
He's going to get a shit ton of points. I have a feeling. And then
if there's any dick to be sucked, it would be Connor.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for sure.
Dude.
He's
good.
He's still sinking into my brain. Like I still,
that guy's all right.
I'm still not like sure how he's that good. Like my brain's like, I'm watching
so
him.
Good.
I'm watching god, him. I'm so like, good. Oh my god, dude, this guy's fucking unreal. Is this real?
He's too fast. It's unfair. He's too fast. Like they gotta, you know, they have like restrictor plate racing in NASCAR.
Yeah.
He gets
no blades.
Sir, you're going too fast. Please slow down.
He gets no blades. He plays without blades, and that's
just not fair. He's just too fast. Like I don't know. It's
too controlled.
You're too fast. Yeah.
Like he can stop whenever he wants, going full bore. You're just like, oh dude, fuck you.
It's not fair. Barkov and Yager is who Marcel Show played with last year.
Yes, yes.
That's a line. I mean, that's a hell of a line. And nobody defensively is like, shit, where's Marceau?
Right.
You know?
Right.
By the way, he's like 4 foot two.
I was going to say, he's like a third grader.
Yeah. But he's awesome. Super good player. Ridiculous hands as well.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be up to him how he handles that. And if he steps up to the bar and says, fuck it, I'm just going to, you know, and do it. And it works. I mean, I wish him the best. I do like watching him, and he is a great talent and has the potential to, you know, do 30, 40 points. You know what I mean?
Yep. I think he's going to be good, but I don't think he's going to have quite the numbers that he had. So
right.
People are going to be like, oh, it's a down year for Marceau. It's like, no, this is kind of what he should be. Like, I think he should be a 20-goal guy, 15, 20 assists, 40 points somewhere there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree full-heartedly, man. This Vegas team is going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
Correct.
That's just going to happen. I don't think that's what happens. I mean, you're not going to the playoffs. But I still think they're fucking exciting as hell. What do you predict and what do you expect out of Las Vegas Golden Knights this upcoming season?
Well, first of all, I think it's awfully difficult to win consistently when the best skater on the ice will always be on the other team. The second best skater on the ice will pretty much always be on the other team. And in many cases, the third best skater on the ice will be on the other team as well. So, like, I mean, even you look at, like, take a bad team. So, like, take Colorado. They easily have three players better than Shipachev.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt. Arizona, okay, maybe only one. Like, Ekman-Larsson's probably better than everybody else, but that's probably the only one.
I think Arizona's got a couple dudes now with their offseason moves. But like you said, I mean, no more than three, but still that's three skaters better than anybody on.
So, like, you can't win consistently doing that. Like, this isn't fucking Miracle every single game. Like, yeah, we'll have our Miracle moments from time to time. Like, they'll beat somebody at some point. You'd be like, holy shit, did that just happen? Like, it wouldn't shock me. It would not shock me in the least if they go into Pittsburgh and win.
Yeah.
Just because Fleury will play out of his mind, and right. the guys will all be pumped up to play for Fleury, and they'll win that game.
Those are going to be the
bet, but
those are going to be the little battles that I think will be good for them. You know, to win those, maybe focus on something like that, and maybe set smaller goals towards something like that. Like, oh, let's go in and fuck Pittsburgh up tonight. Let's
right. That'd be great. You know, I'm hoping you mess up Chicago. I can't stand Chicago, but I came from Chicago. I can't stand the Blackhawks. But the number here in Vegas is 69 on points. So that's way too high.
69?
Like,
you gotta go under, right?
Like, I don't think they're gonna pass 60.
Now you say it, man, I'd be surprised if they did.
Because, like, you can look at – I mean, you look at how many teams they're remotely close to. It's, like, four. Arizona, Vancouver, New Jersey, Colorado, maybe Winnipeg.
Yeah, maybe.
Just because goalie's not good there. Like,
Steve fucking Mason. God damn it, dude.
So you're looking at maybe five teams they're, like, on par with. And so that's – let's say they win all of those games. That's like 11 wins.
Oh, and then they have to play in the Pacific.
So they're playing in the Pacific. Yeah. And they're murdered by the Ducks, the Kings, the Sharks. Edmonton's going to smoke them every single time because nobody's going to stop McDavid. Calgary's going to beat them up from time to time.
Yeah. I think you got Edmonton winning the Pacific, yeah?
Yeah, I got them win the Cup.
Do you? I have him going to the Cup final. I have him making his way there. You know, last year made it to the conference, almost the conference final. This year, conference final. Next year, Stanley Cup. And then in 3 years, he'll be a Stanley Cup champion for sure.
I think they're going to win like four of the next six. He's that good. Like,
dude, he is that good. He is that good.
Honestly, the biggest hurdle, I think, for Vegas ever being legitimately good is Connor McDavid's existence.
And my co-host, who isn't with me today, but he is under the impression that as soon as the Raiders get out there, the Golden Knights are fucked. Do you think there's any truth in that?
There's certainly some truth. I don't think that it's as dire as some people like to make it, but let's put it this way. There's more watch parties for the Raiders game tomorrow than there are the Golden Knights preseason game.
Yeah.
One of the teams is named Vegas. One of them is still Oakland and is going to be Oakland until 2020.
Right. Yeah, that's,
you know, the front page of every sports page tomorrow will have Derek Carr's face, not Vadim Shipachov's face. So, like, the media coverage-wise, it's really a shame because the Raiders just completely, like, bent the city of Las Vegas over a chair and rammed it up their ass, like, 100 fucking times. Meanwhile, you have the Golden Knights, who did everything, like, by the book, the For best sure. way you could they possibly sure do it. And then the city, you know, turns around and hands them the biggest competition in the world. Like, it's really a shame.
It kind of fucking sucks.
But long term, they'll be fine. Like, when a team's good, cities get around good teams. Like look at Washington. Like, that's not a traditional hockey city. But when they're good and the Redskins blow, of course you're going to go watch hockey.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure, man.
That'll be the same case. Like, when they're good, they'll be good. So it's going to put a little bit more pressure, I think, on the front office. And I think it's going to put a little bit of pressure kind of on the fan base to keep the building actually gold rather than whatever team's coming in. But,
yeah,
again, does it really matter? Like, as long as there's people in the stadium, like, it's just going to be a bit embarrassing whenever game's an away game. But once your team's good, like, dude, if Rasmus Dahlin winds up on this team, and I know I keep blowing Rasmus Dahlin, fucking 17-year-old, he's like half my age, but still, you know, if they wind up getting that guy, and he is what they say he is, which is like better than Erik Karlsson,
woo,
they're going to be good for a while.
For sure. And so, dude, it works in Florida. You ever watch a fucking game in Florida? There's all the other color.
They've had good seasons. Tampa's a really good example.
Exactly.
Tampa went to the Cup a few years back, and like that place was lit. But then when they're not good, like it's awful to go there. So I think you're going to be kind of in that ballpark. But I trust the front office here. I trust the.
Good.
I'm living and dying with Cup and or playoffs in three, Cup and six. That's the owner's mantra. He like says that every. You're like, hello, Bill. Cup and three, or the Cup playoff in three, Cup and six. You're like, Jesus Christ, calm down, man.
Yeah, then maybe not drink some coffee that day or some shit.
That's he needs to calm down. But I'm in. I'm in. I'm buying
fuck yeah.
in.
Why not? Completely. Why not?
I'm gonna cover the team. I'm buying in. Playoffs in three, Cup and six. And then I'm going to kiss Bill Foley on the face.
Fucking A, man. I need you to do me a favor. And next time you talk to Derek England, I have a bet with a guy here. We do a hashtag bet, Steve Tacular. And I said the first Las Vegas home game, there will be a fight. And I said it was going to be Thorburn, but this was right after the expansion draft. So I need Derek England to fight somebody for the home opener so I can win some money.
All right, I'll ask him. I'll just tell him. I'll ask him, what are the chances you get in a fight at Dallas?
Thank you.
And we'll see what he says.
Who are your three stars?
If we ask him,
yeah.
Or if we ask him, are we then planting the seed of doubt that we're waiting for it? Like, I think maybe asking him might make it worse for you.
Yeah, dude, that's a good fucking point. Don't ask him. Don't just be like, dude, you're
how
fucking.
How do we put it something in his head that's like makes him want to hate somebody? Like, can you write a fake article that says like, I don't know, Tyler Sagan, you know, hit on his wife or
yes.
something.
Yes, this shit. Is that's the right
and
direction.
I'll print it and show it to him and be like, look, man,
look at this
Sagan. You think you got to beat the shit out of him?
Yeah, have him fucking fight Tyler Sagan too. That would be fucking crazy.
Yeah, like how do we do that?
Yeah, or maybe just keep playing and like, dude, how's your hands feeling, champ? How's your hands feeling, dude? You know, get
yeah, I'll bring him a belt one of these days, and like I'll bring him a robe to wear out. To, you know,
yes.
All, yeah, exactly. Just basically call him Muhammad rest of the time.
The biscuit belt, dude. That's what he needs.
Ooh, we should make a biscuit belt.
That's what has to happen. Be like, dude.
Currently, we wouldn't own the biscuit belt because the one fight that the team has been in, Colazar got murked. So
fuck. So we got to get it back from LA. We can get it from those pansies, dude. Easy.
I think they should be able to take it. I'm expecting a fight tomorrow.
Good.
Playing Vancouver tomorrow, and I'm expecting somebody's got to beat the shit out of somebody. Maybe Stoner.
Yeah, I can see Stoner doing it. Maybe, yeah,
he's been
Keegan gets a little pepper under him. Ken, who are your three stars for the Las Vegas fucking Golden Knights, dude?
Ooh, be careful. Don't call them the Las Vegas Golden Knights. They're not the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
It's Vegas Golden Knights. Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Yeah, careful. That's a hot button issue here in Vegas.
I'm going to get that wrong so many times.
Yeah, people hate it because like everybody's all pissy. Like we get our first team, and you name them after a nickname, and you know, I literally had more than one person come up to me on the day they named the team and tell me they're canceling the season tickets because they didn't name them Las Vegas.
Whoa!
Yeah, I also told them that you guys would have canceled season tickets when they lost the first game 6-1 too.
Yeah, thanks. Losers. Yeah, bye.
So three stars. Let's start with Shipachov, mainly because he's awesome and Russian and he doesn't speak any English, which is hilarious. And he laughs the entire time he's on the ice. And his saucer passes are just insane. Seriously, watch the preseason game tomorrow. Like, I don't know if it's on center ice or whatever. I don't know how you get it in Columbus, but.
Center ice. Watch. I'm sure it's on there.
You got to watch it. He's going to. Well, no, shit. He's not going tomorrow. That's right. I don't know. Whenever he gets to play, you're going to see a sauce pass and you're going to be like, holy shit, Ken was right. So that's number one. Two, let's go. What are we rating this? Because Shipachov just deserves number one, no matter how you're rating it. What are you asking me for here?
Your three MVPs from one to three.
Like on the season?
Yeah.
Like how? Like most goals and whatnot?
Who do you think is going to be the most three vital players to this team this season?
All right, so one is Shipachov. Two, Let's go with Riley Smith, because I gave you his name earlier as most goals. Yes, so we gotta stick along that one. And three, I'm gonna say, let me give you two, because it's not fair to say Jason Garrison, because I think he's gonna be the standout on the defense, but then they're gonna trade him. So when the season's over and I say, well, it was Jason Garrison, you'll be like, yeah, but he's not on your team anymore. It's semantics. So half Jason Garrison, the other one. All right, so I'll give you a full half. Half Garrison, half Shea Theodore. Because I think Garrison will be good in the first half and Theodore will be amazing in the second half.
That works perfectly, man. That works absolutely perfectly. Ken, I cannot thank you enough, man. You got me even more excited for the Vegas Golden Knights season. Tell the Biscuit Babies where they can find you, my man.
Viva VGK, as we say. Well, the website is sinbin.vegas. Don't do .com because .com's overrated, and .vegas was more expensive, and we like to show our muscles. So
I like
sinbin.vegas. At sinbinvegas on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good shit. And then, we have a podcast that's on iTunes and Podbean or whatever the shitty – why do people have Android phones? I don't understand that.
I don't know, but I hate every single one of them, though.
Yeah, we're on that, too. So listen to the podcast. It's a lot more of me rambling about how much I want to suck Connor McDavid's dick.
And go rate and review them, guys. Don't be fucking idiots. It's good shit.
Yeah, do
and,
that. We like when the most stars.
And definitely follow their Twitter. Very active and very fun and good shit on there, man. I appreciate what you do, and I really appreciate you coming on, man.
You got it. Don't forget, you got to watch Nate Schmidt on the white gloves. He's hilarious.
I'm doing it as soon as I get off here.
Giddy up.
Don't think that I won't.
I think you will.
Hey, enjoy the fight tonight, bud.
Go Triple G.
Go Triple G for sure. Oh, Rockhold?
Against Branch?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Right? I think it's like kind of a gimme, right?
18,000 or something?
It's kind of a gimme. It's got to be. But he needs one.
Looking it up.
He needs one.
Well, yeah. He's been terrible.
Something weird's happening in the UFC, and it's got to get back on track here soon.
He's minus 500. I may actually take that.
He's minus 5?
Yeah, you got to lay 500 to win 100. I may put $50 on that. That might be worth a free $10. There's no fucking way he loses to David Branch.
There's not a chance.
I don't think David Branch – has he even won?
Not that I care about if he has.
Branch, god damn it. Getting off onto UFC. How does he even get that fight? Like –
I don't know who's Luis booking these Taylor. Fucking fights.
Vinny Malgate. I've never heard of these guys.
Is Mike Perry fighting
one
tonight?
Fight in the UFC.
Is Mike Perry fighting Ooh. Tonight?
Didn't he get pulled?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Jesse Taylor. Mike Perry. Let's see.
Platinum Perry, baby, from Flint, Michigan. I love him.
I think he might be. I am not going to watch a second of that card. Is that bad?
I haven't recorded. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I literally am not going to watch
it. I don't know.
Yeah, Alex Reyes. No, he'll kill that guy, too.
Yeah, I hope he knocks his fucking face off.
Tony Martin's fighting today. Tony Martin's from where I grew up, Palos Park, Illinois.
What'd Taylor get pulled for?
He had some sort of steroid in his system, which is the most shocking thing you've ever heard, that the guy who took 97 years to get back to the UFC, can't stay around.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Hector Lombard is plus 135.
Who's he fighting?
Wow. Anthony Smith? I don't even know who that is.
I have no idea who Anthony Smith is.
I don't either. Mike Perry's minus 500. Who is Anthony Smith? It's a gigantic white dude, it seems like.
Yeah, fuck him. He's done.
I've never heard of him. I'm in. Oh, I'm totally in for that one. All right, now I got to watch. Now I got to watch the fights because I'm taking Hector Lombard.
do what I'm doing. I'm fucking getting the boxing fights and then recording in the UFC. I'm going to stay off the shit and I'll watch it later.
I might have to do the exact same thing.
Or I'll fucking fire up the laptop and watch one and watch the TV and just go super nerd and watch dudes get punched in the face all night long.
Dude, this Anthony Smith is a goofy-looking gentleman. I hope he doesn't listen to this, because like he'll, hey, are you the Sin Bin guy? And punch me in the face.
I'm going to fuck you.
Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Oh my God, that's rough, dude. That's
plus
fucking 125.
Rough. You need to fly to Vegas right now and put money on Lombard. He beat Elvis Mutopsic and Andrew Sanchez.
You're just making shit up now.
No, this is legit. I was actually there. Now that I'm looking at it, I was there when he beat Elvis Mutopsic. I do not remember that. Performance of the night, and I was in the building, and I do not remember this.
It got performance of the night?
Yeah. Two of his last three fights, I was there, and I don't know who this guy is.
That's not good, dude.
I was literally there.
That's not good, man.
How does a guy get performance of the night, and I don't know who he is?
That makes zero sense.
When was this fight? I was by the cage for this fight. How is this possible?
You probably interviewed him, dude.
No, preliminary, I definitely didn't for that one, now that I'm looking at it. I remember Jamie Moyle. I remember Dong Hyung Kim. What the hell?
Korean Zombie?
Who? I don't know who this guy is. Yeah, Korean Zombie beat Brendan O'Reilly that day.
Dude, he's a bad man.
I remember Demetrius Johnson almost lost that fight that day to Tim Elliott.
Oh, I remember the card you're talking about now.
Yeah, Elvis Mutopsic was on that card against Anthony Smith.
I watched that. I don't know who the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, I was there. I was next to the cage. If you watch it back, you'll see my face. And I don't know who. I'm sure if you watch it, there's a screenshot of me looking at Alec. What is his name? Anthony Smith. And I still don't know who he is.
Oh, fuck, dude. Ken, I love you, man. Thanks. This was a lot of fun.
You got it. Anytime. When do the Golden Knights come and get their asses kicked to the Blue Jackets? Let's do it again.
We will. Thanks a lot, buddy.
You got it. Take it easy.
Bye.